This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Allergy season is on its way and you need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Save $200 on the 3-Pack. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code Howie3 to order.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank God for John Hinderacher. He did a lot of that heavy lifting that I was trying to piece it all together this morning. But every single day, I feel like Joy Behar or Patricia Arquette. Every single day, I'm putting on a new hat. You know, I'm a foreign policy expert. I'm an expert on oil production, gasoline. Sometimes you need to bring in the big guns, someone who really gets it. And I should add in here that people are really, they're going after the Biden administration. They're pouncing, they're seizing, they're weaponizing on Twitter. And it's funny because if you listen to Jen Psaki, or even if you listen to Joe Biden today, he actually gave a speech. Word is he did not take questions. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it yet, if you're waiting, you know, sometimes you want to wait for something till later on, you put it on the DVR, you want to sit down, have a nice glass of wine. Well, I just ruined the ending. He did not take any questions. But what would you even have a question on? You know, when things are going this good, what could your question possibly be? How could it get any better than this?
So why are you such a kind, generous, great ruler?
Decent, compassionate.
Passionate man, Mr. Biden.
Oh, I have one too. Joe, what would you say to people who also want to give up ice cream and sweets for Lent, but they can't seem to find the courage to do so? Could you give them any tips on your journey thus far? How has it been? How's
the... Here Louise now, yeah.
Sir, Mr. President, how's the sweet tooth holding up? Is it bad? Is the cat helping you with that? What does Jill think? Okay, thanks, sir. Yeah, so we didn't get any of those questions answered, unfortunately. But I wanted to read you just two tweets that immediately popped up when I opened up my laptop right now. Eddie Scary from The Federalist, he's a friend of the show, and he's also on Howie Show a lot. He said, I don't mind paying more at the pump. And then he said, people who always make six figures and have little or no work commute. Well, that describes Stephen Colbert. I was going to switch it up and not go with gas, but that would be like, you know, the expression... in the wind. We have to go with it today. Let's play Stephen Colbert. This is a guy. I'm going to repeat this. He's a comedian. Okay. I don't know who's watching this show. I don't know if anyone enjoys it. I mean, every day I think I could do a poll question. Who's the least funny? Trevor Noah, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon. They're all competing to be like the most sanctimonious, least funny people in America. And they're supposed to be the funniest guys on TV. Johnny Carson would be horrified that this is the state of late night TV. Let's take a listen to Stephen Colbert talking about why he's okay with gas prices. Cut 12.
Russia has been hit with a series of crippling sanctions, and it looks like there's more to come because the U.S. and its European allies are now discussing banning imports of Russian oil. Take that, Putin. We're not going to buy our gas from a war criminal. We're going to buy it from the good guys, Saudi Arabia. But it's going to cost. Since the invasion, oil prices have skyrocketed. Today, the average gas price in America hit an all-time record high of over $4 per gallon. Okay, that stings, but a clean conscience is worth a buck or two. I'm willing to pay... It's important. I'm willing to pay $4 a gallon. Hell, I'll pay $15 a gallon because I drive a Tesla.
You know who really needs their heads checked is the audience. I love this elite mocking all of us who have to pay regular gas because we can't afford a fancy Tesla. This is hysterical. I'm so glad I paid to come here. just so obnoxious. And Bridget Fetisi, who writes for Spectator, she wrote, I don't understand how you can be railing about a $15 minimum wage and not give a bleep about gas and food prices going up. Everyone is so full of bleep. It's true. And when Jen Psaki is asked about this, we ran through a lot of the missing fact checks with John Hinderacher. But there's another one I want to touch on, because whenever she gets the opportunity, when things are going bad, one of her last resorts is, well, you know, ask the companies, ask the private sector, ask big oil about that. You know, the buck doesn't stop anywhere in this administration. So naturally, it's not the red tape. It's not the chilling effect that all this talk about transitioning away from oil has had on the industry. No, no, no. It's because these big oil companies, these greedy oil oligarchs, don't seem to want to make money by drilling, because we've done all we can. They just don't want to seem to take advantage of it, according to Jen Psaki. I want to play her, and then I'm going to play a great rebuttal here from Dan Sullivan. But first, let's play Jen Psaki blaming the private sector cut six.
Would President Biden rescind his executive order that halts new oil and natural gas leases on public lands?
Well, 90% of them happen on private lands, as I'm sure you know. And there are 9,000 unused approved drilling permits. So I would suggest you ask the oil companies why they're not using those if there's a desire to drill more.
Would President Biden ever undo his executive order that stopped the construction of the Keystone XL pipeline?
Are you suggesting that would solve the gas prices issue?
Well, do you think that that would maybe affect prices faster than getting the whole country off of fossil fuels?
I actually don't think it would. The Keystone was not an oil field. It's a pipeline. Yeah. Also, the oil is continuing to flow in just through other means. So it actually would have nothing to do with the current supply imbalance.
Now, before we play Dan Sullivan, I just want to mention here that there was a good piece. I think this is from Issues and Insight, but I could be citing this wrong. So just give me a second here. Well, I'll find out exactly where it's from in a second. But They remark that according to the Department of Interior report, the U.S. had more than 37,000 oil and gas leases just last year. So 9,000 is a small number comparatively. And just because oil companies have a lease doesn't mean they can just start drilling, which is what John Hinderacher was talking about. They must organize and safely manage their reservoir and satisfy several regulatory requirements, such as on-site inspection, environmental review, and permit approval. This process can actually take up to 10 years. Experts say even if these companies start drilling more oil wells today, it could take anywhere from 6 months to years for that oil to start flowing. So it's not as easy peasy as Jen Psaki seems to think. Let's go to Senator Dan Sullivan. This is cut nine, please.
Yeah, it's not truthful, right? And it's not truthful at all. From day one, this administration has been hell-bent with their anti-American energy holy war to shut down the production of American energy. She knows that, right? It's delaying leases. Look, you can get a lease and then they delay the permits for you to be able to do seismic and do work on it. In Alaska, they delay the ability to get a permit for an ice road, which is how we go and do exploration on these leases. They've shut that down. They've tried to kill pipelines. Day one, you saw Biden said he wasn't going to produce on energy on ANWR, even though it's in the law that he has to do it, says shall. And then you guys got you have people like John Kerry and Gina McCarthy going around to the American financial community saying don't invest in American energy. So day one, they have been focused on killing the production of American energy.
Yeah, this wasn't a one person job here. This was a collective job to destroy our energy independence, and they've been successful at it. And now that it's happened, they don't want to take any of the credit. They want to say, oh, no, we're pumping just as much oil as Trump did. You notice they say Jen Psaki says Trump's first year. A lot of the texters are pointing that out. I realize that. I realize that Trump's first year as far as oil exports was a lot less than his last year in office when he really ramped it up. And that's because it takes time. Like we just mentioned, it takes time to do these things. But as far as Jen Psaki claiming that this is all easy and that people could just do this if they wanted to, and trying to, I think that that's the point of this, is you can't have it both ways. You can't claim that you're trying to transition away from oil and you're trying to really chill this industry into not getting investments from people because they're afraid that the government is treating the oil industry like this beast, like this evil monster. And then at the same time, when you get called out on it, when it starts to have an effect, when it starts to put us in a precarious situation, you say, oh, we're doing just as good as Trump was. Well, which is it? If you're doing just as much as Trump was, then what's all this talk about you being these green saviors who are coming in and making everything better for the environment? Both of those things can't make sense. By the way, that piece I was reading from was KATV. Just wanted to point that out. KATV.com. It's Fact Check Team. Why isn't the U.S. producing more oil? Thought it was interesting. When we get back, we'll be talking to Paul Craney. All the way. By the way, later on, we will be going to the real expert when it comes to gas and oil. That is, of course, Shaquille O'Neal. Wait till you hear his breakdown of the situation. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect. When it comes to dentistry, he's the best at what he does. He's also just so nice. I mean, if you go to Dr. Houghton at Perfect Smiles, you'll understand what I mean. He's a very nice guy. He takes his job so seriously. His patients all love him. You can check out the video testimonials. He fixes your teeth, your smile, but what he really does is he builds the self-confidence of his patients. When you have a smile you're proud of, it builds confidence in your professional life and in your personal life. The better you look, the better you feel. I don't have to tell you that. Everybody knows it. And every other part of your life becomes a lot easier. If you've been thinking about this, but you've been holding off and you hear me now, it's the time to do it. If you've thought about Perfect Smiles for years, but never called, now's the time. Call Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. They're located right off Route 3. They have plenty of parking and you can reach them at PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile, change your life. Paul Craney joins us next to talk about gas, to talk about the government, and to talk about what you can do about it. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. As you know, everything is getting more expensive right now. We've been focusing a lot on gas today, but it's not just gas. It's everything from wheat. If you've gone to the grocery store, I went to the grocery store yesterday to get food for just two people. It cost me almost $60. It's just crazy. Joining me now to talk about this is Paul Craney from Mass Fiscal. Paul, thanks so much for coming on the show.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Now, Paul, you just sent out a tweet to your followers and you talked about this. You talked about the price of gas and how everything's becoming more expensive. And you said there's something that people can do about it. Can you explain that to my listeners?
Thank you for teeing me up. It seems like every day Massachusetts is becoming more expensive and the country is becoming more expensive. But right now, anyone that's listening, and I encourage ordinary people to consider it, that they could actually come forward and run for office in Massachusetts. Part of the problem that we have in our state is that we have a lot of elitist politicians who are busy giving themselves pay raises, voting for far fringe policies that don't impact ordinary people, and we need average people, small business owners, civic-minded people, people that care about taxes, spending, inflation, to come forward and actually run for office. From now to May 4th, anyone can come forward. You need 150 signatures to run for office at the State House, and then you put your name on the ballot by collecting 150 signatures by May 4th. So I encourage your audience to consider it. We have about a month and a half, 2 months or so, and that's really what we need at the State House. We need just people that are not part of the status quo. We need people that understand about the economic anxieties out there to come forward and be a change agent at the State House.
Now,
sorry,
Paul, before we get into some of my questions about this, and I'm just going to come at it like I would if you were asking me to run and what my questions would be, but first we should let people know that this is not a bad job. I mean, I'm looking at the base salary, I'm looking at the hours here. Kind of break that down for people who might be considering this.
I kind of joke around, I say, the Massachusetts minimum wage is $14 an hour. The Massachusetts State House minimum wage is $70,000. Most politicians at the State House are earning at least $70,000. a lot of them rig the system so they're making well over $100,000. And you have to remember, this is a part-time job. The Statehouse was closed for 713 days. You weren't even expected to show up to work. And all these politicians, believe it or not, they actually voted themselves a massive pay raise in 2017. Average increase was about 40%. Of course, if you're in leadership, you got a lot more. But they all benefited because they actually got a significant bump in what they call travel pay. And I think that's one of the problems that's happening right now is ordinary people are spending close to $5, sometimes more than $5 per gallon in Massachusetts. It's having a huge impact. But these politicians voted themselves a pay raise and includes travel pay. So on one hand, they know that the cost of driving around is expensive because they voted themselves a pay raise to inoculate themselves. On the other hand, they do nothing for the 5 million motorists in Massachusetts who are paying it almost every day. We're breaking records for how much gas is costing in Massachusetts.
Paul, I think something that really sometimes deters people from running for office or from, you know, taking you up on this offer, this opportunity, is that people feel, and I think this is always the goal of the left, people feel like it's beyond them. You know, I don't know enough about it. I'm not an expert. I'm not Nancy Pelosi. I haven't been in office for the last 1,000 years of my life. What do you say to people who go, I'm just intimidated. I don't think I know enough. I'm just a regular person. What's your pitch to them?
Honestly, you can't get much worse than what we have right now. I mean, look at it. Yesterday was an all-time record for how much gasoline costs in Massachusetts. We wake up today, we break that record, another record. I mean, these politicians at the State House who run our state just seem to be so out of touch with what's going on in reality. So I would encourage the average person who's listening, that's exactly what we need. It's not very hard. All they have to do right now is consider it. If they go to our website, massfiscal.org, massfiscal.org, we have a page there that encourages you to read it about how to run for office. You can email us on that page. Someone on my staff will be in touch with you ASAP. But the burden is really just collecting 150 signatures. You have a month and a half, 2 months to do it. It's not very hard. Most people do it in one weekend. And then it's just going about meeting people that care about the same issues that we care about. The great thing about Massachusetts is that the vast majority of people who actually live here are very normal, right? They care about taxes. They care about spending. They're very generous. I think they're actually pretty conservative, in fact. Of course, we have these elitist politicians like John Kerry, Elizabeth Warren, and a bunch of state house politicians that have no idea what the average person in Massachusetts is thinking or what they care about. And that's really one of the big problems is there's a disconnect. So we really want people who are not, like, you know, super politically plugged in, people that run businesses, people that work, you know, these are good things.
I would agree. If you have a job, you understand why you don't want it all taken out when you get your paycheck. I totally agree with that. And Paul, I wanted to add another thing in here. You bring this up, and a lot of times people do have that hesitancy, or people call up my show and they say, you know, Grace, forgive me if I'm oversimplifying things. We just had a caller say that sometimes these things are not as complicated as these politicians are making them out to be. Sometimes a person who just has common sense and gets in there could do a very good job.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what we really need right now. Because we have a lot of political elites. You know, it's funny, you had that John Stewart segment, but that is so true, right? They don't care about the price of gas because they all want to drive Teslas, or they are driving Teslas. Or in the state of Massachusetts, they all vote themselves a huge pay raise, so they don't have to worry about the price of gas. I mean, we have that problem in our state. So many of these problems that we all see, and we're like, why does this happen? It's because these politicians, you know, it doesn't impact them. So they don't even notice. They don't care. Again, their state house was closed for 713 days. They didn't have to deal with constituents. They didn't have to deal with people who are mad and visited the state house. So from now to May 4th, anyone can come forward and run for office. And we encourage you to do that. It takes 150 signatures. Go to massfiscal.org, massfiscal.org. On our website, a little page about how to run for office. There's an email address there. You email us. I can promise you someone will respond very quickly and get you plugged in and how to run for office. But that's what we need.
Yeah.
There's 200 lawmakers. They have to be held accountable. People need to step forward and say, you know, you shut the state house for 2 years. You raised taxes during that time period. You did nothing about the increasing cost of gasoline. Time to let the voters decide what's the best outcome.
Yes, that's massfiscal.org. I totally agree. People always ask me, what can I do? Well, this is something. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls. Thank you to Paul Craney from Mass Fiscal. It's 844-500-4242. Shaq, when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
It's simply not true that my administration or policies are holding back domestic energy production. That's simply not true.
Well, if he says it's not true and he gives us his word as a Biden, I don't know why we shouldn't believe him.
That's the truth.
He's never lied to us before, right? So nothing is his fault. It's really amazing. Everything's crumbling around him. This is when Gene Curley would look at me as a kid and say, you are the common denominator of all of these issues. I have three siblings, and I was in the middle of every single fight that would ever pop up. My mom would say, you're the common denominator. And eventually I understood that. Joe Biden is the common denominator in all of these problems. And now he's calling it Putin's price hikes, Putin's war. And I'm not, before people come at me and say, why do you love Putin so much? I do not like Putin. I hate Putin. There, does that make you happy? I hate Putin. And yet, I'm not blind. I almost at times I wish I could buy into this like they can, the liberals, and just drink this Kool-Aid and say, well, if it wasn't for Putin, gas would be back down to where it was before this war, which, by the way, was still high. But they're in such an alternative reality. It's almost admirable. It must be nice because ignorance is bliss, and they are just tripping on the bliss right now.
Yeah, these are not mutually exclusive concepts. Putin can be terrible and Joe Biden can still suck at everything. Those two things can coexist at the same time.
Absolutely. Let's go to the callers here before we get into more Joe Biden. Mark, you're first up. Go ahead, Mark.
Grace?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Grace, I just hope the next press conference that somebody asks Jen Psaki, what's going on with those 9,000 leases? When she answered Ducey, she said, you're going to have to ask them. Why don't Joe ask them before Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, and other countries? The oil is right here. Let them give them the answer. Let them talk to the oil companies. He's a president. And it's so disingenuous because she knows why they're not building off of those leases. You got, you know, the cost of production, starting these things up, going through regulation. She knows the whole story.
Yeah, you know, she does.
I want someone to in front of the country, or even Biden, call out the executives. Let them explain why. He's not going to like what they're going to say.
That's such a great point, Mark, because he's so willing. I mean, he's packing his bag to go to Saudi Arabia to work with, you know, all of these foreign governments to try to get more oil. And he's packing his bag. He's ready. He's ready to work with Iran. He's ready to work with Venezuela. But if you say, hey, why don't you give these greedy oil companies in the United States a call? Well, we asked them. We don't know what's going on with them, but we don't have time to talk to people here. We got to get to Venezuela and try to get some oil. You're right. You're right. And it's maddening because I've said this a few times now, so forgive me if I repeat myself, but I do think it's worth mentioning. You can't be all the things. You can't be a climate activist who's going to take down the oil industry and transition away from oil, which he told us he was going to do during the debates. So yes, American voters, I do blame you. If you voted for him, I am still angry about that. But you can't be that and also say, we're producing more oil than Trump did in his first year. Well, that's because when Trump came in, he doubled the production and then it just kept increasing. And so you guys are once again, anything that you can take credit for, you will. But then when people say, well, why is the price of gas so high? You'll have to ask Putin about that. You'll have to ask the oil companies about that. You'll have to ask blah, 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 blah. We're asking you about it because you guys ran and you were going to be the best administration we'd ever seen and you were going to make everything perfect. You had all the answers. And now all you have is shrugs. And all you have is a willingness to work with Iran and Saudi Arabia and not a willingness to work with Americans. That is very telling, and that is a great point by that caller. We've had such good callers, and it's only Tuesday. Okay, we are okay. Jared's whispering in my ear. You tell everyone what you're whispering. Go ahead.
I just said shack because we're talking about the price of gas.
And you just want to get to the shack clip. I don't blame you. It's been kind of a serious day. We do need shack to lighten it up. We should break this down, though. So everyone has different ideas on how to deal with what's happening with Putin's price hike. And we're going to get to some of this Biden sound that he said earlier this morning. But some ideas are better than others. You know, Jen Psaki says, ask the oil industries. That's not a great idea because they'll tell you and you don't want to hear their answer, like that caller just pointed out. Some people say, buy a Tesla. That's Pete Buttigieg's idea. Some people say, ride a bike or, you know, just feel good about your patriotic duty and your clean conscience. And then some people like Shaq, I don't even know where I would categorize this theory. Let's take a listen. So Shaq is explaining to his co-hosts on TNT how they don't have to pay much more for gas. And it's some Goodwill Hunting type of math going on here. Cut 13.
Because I told them I didn't want to get a certain vehicle because of the amount of gas I would have to spend. Yeah. It costs like $80
to fill it up.
And he said, then you said,
when it gets to half, then you put $20, you bring it back to full. Yeah.
But if I keep doing, I would have to stop more often and still spend $80.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
Why?
You're complaining about when it gets to zero, you spend $80, right? When it gets to half, you put 20. Then when it get back to half, you put 20.
Yeah, but I'll keep stopping, putting 20 in, and it'll be cool. 80, Kenny. The same amount of gas. Same amount of gas.
I would comment here, but I think we have to play more of it. I do have a comment, but let's play cut 14.
You're telling me that I wouldn't have to, if I didn't let my gas get down, I wouldn't have to fill it up as much?
No, I'm saying you're complaining about the $80. That's what the conversation about.
But times 20 is 80 because I'm going to stop four times.
No, you're not going to stop four times. No, you're not going to stop four times. Not in 1 week, you're not.
Anyway, the West Coast is closer than the moon.
If you let it get to zero, right, Monday through Friday, right, then you got to pay 80 to fill it back up.
Right.
Okay, but if you let it get to half by Wednesday, then you pay 20.
No, if Wednesday it's going to be 40, and then on Friday it'll be 40.
Not 40,
again.
20. Yeah. It's going to be 20.
Okay. First of all,
it's going to be 20.
God bless this other co-host trying to understand this math. And I will say, this reminds me. So
we let the man continue with fuzzy math.
When we were in high school, me and my siblings, or I should say probably when I was in college and my younger siblings were in high school, we were all in the same house for a little bit and everyone was using the same car. This is how we'd explain to each other why another person didn't fill up the gas tank. This kind of logic. Well, no. I filled it up and then, and the other person's like, it's empty. You were always getting in the car and it was always empty because no one wanted to put the $20 in. And if only Shaq were there, I could have explained to my siblings that you don't understand. Okay, you put in 40, I put in 5, we're even. It's math. It's basic math. Boy, that was some. Yeah, I always say I don't do math live on the air, and that's the reason for that. Paul, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, how you doing, Grace?
Good.
Question for you. A question for all America, all the politicians in America, right? And you can get the question out. If Mexico allowed Russia to put nuclear missiles and military equipment on the border of Mexico and the United States, right?
Right.
Would we accept that? Would we accept it?
No, we wouldn't.
Therefore, we're calling Putin the meanest guy on the planet because he won't accept missiles and set in Ukraine on his border. It's that simple. That's a question that you go to Biden. Would you accept missiles on the border of America and the United States?
And I do understand your point, Paul, and there is merit to what you're saying. I will add in here that another reason I think he's a very terrible person is because what's happening in Ukraine and some of the missiles that are going in there and just killing women and children and just his history as a leader. But I do understand what you're saying as far as why it seemed like this could have been de-escalated with Putin rather than get to the point where it's at. He was pretty clear about what he wanted versus what he did not want to see from Ukraine. And it does seem like we kind of poked the bear in that sense. And I do understand that. I just want to add one thing here, and I don't want to go too far off topic, Paul, so forgive me, but we just play this Shaq sound.
of him explaining the gas. But there's other ideas, too, if you're trying to save gas. NBC News. And I've tried this. This is, again, I bring this back to high school where we were all trying to not fill up the car. So the car was constantly on empty. I have tried this technique as well. This is cut 16 from NBC News.
The pain at the pump hitting Americans in the pocketbook.
It's stressful, you know, it keeps going up.
Gas prices reaching a record high, an average of $4.17 a gallon. Some tips to keep your wallet from hitting E, starting with the way you drive. AAA says try to group your trips together. Accelerate gradually, avoiding jackrabbit starts. Anticipate your stops. When approaching a red light, let your foot off the gas as early as possible. On the interstate, experts recommend reducing your speed.
I just drove back from Tampa to Chicago. I went 68 miles an hour. I got 32 miles a gallon. When I bumped it up 6 miles an hour, it went down to 29 miles a gallon.
And try not to leave your car idling.
This is honestly, this is me driving my siblings around and saying, shut the heat off. We do not have it in the budget today. Shut the heat off. I'm not pulling over. I've tried all these.
Take sharper turns to build up momentum so you don't have to accelerate.
Coast. Try to get up the hill and just let it go.
Drive downhill at all times.
I mean, the genius here. We should play a little bit of Joe Biden, though, Jared, because he didn't mention any of these tips, but he did manage to shift the blame. I always thought he was like a, you know, no one's going to take the blame except for me. The buck stops here. Has the buck ever stopped near him? Because he has a lot of different people he's blaming. Let's play cut. This is probably the most quotable cut. Cut 20.
I'm going to do everything I can to minimize Putin's price hike here at home.
I just need to know if you're a Biden supporter. Call in, weigh in, text in, tweet in. Are you officially, like, I need to understand how the brainwashing works, because for years I was told that I was part of the Trump cult. You know, you're drinking the Kool-Aid, you're a Trump supporter. And I will say, economically, security-wise, things were a little bit better under Trump, so I think the Kool-Aid went down a little bit smoother. But this Kool-Aid, here's my question. If you are drinking the Biden Kool-Aid, in your mind, was the price of gas not high until Russia invaded Ukraine? I just need to know where we're at as far as a shared reality, as Brian Stelter would say.
You're giving them too much credit for trying to find that place or dig into that place, Grace. They just hear the point and they repeat it. I've had people, like, we've talked to people on the show. We've talked to liberals elsewhere. There, it's like, oh, no, the supply chain is because of COVID. Okay, well, why is it because of COVID? Well, it's because of COVID. Okay, but, like, give me a breakdown. Like, what is it, things aren't shipping because of COVID, or products can't be made because of, you know, closures of industry? Oh, no, it's because of COVID. Okay. Well, why is gas high? Okay, because Putin invaded. Okay, how does that correlate? They have no explanation. They just hear the point and they repeat it.
But I want to point something else out here, is that the reason for this Biden speech was because of this. Let's play cut one, and then I want to ask a question.
Today, I'm announcing the United States is targeting the main artery of Russia's economy. We're banning all imports of Russian oil and gas and energy. That means Russian oil will no longer be acceptable at U.S. ports, and the American people will deal another powerful blow to Putin's war machine.
Okay, so he's the last one to get on this, by the way. And I want to read you a little thread here from Jackie Heinrich from Fox. She said, Biden stalled the bipartisan bill to ban Russian oil. So it was a bipartisan bill, both sides wanted to ban Russian oil. A source close to the process tells me that the House Ways and Means Committee worked all weekend in a bipartisan manner to develop a bill to ban all Russian oil imports. And there was other things included. Sunday night, Ways and Means Democrats put out a press release about the bipartisan bill that they were putting forward. They were proud of this. It was pulled down 5 minutes later. Reuters reported on it, but the bill was still never introduced all day yesterday. Because this source tells me that the White House called Ways and Means Dems and told them not to move forward on it. Ways and Means Dems wanted to push ahead anyway. So at about 6:30 last night, someone from the White House called Nancy Pelosi's office to intervene. She was, quote, not moved by their arguments. Shocker. The White House. Is anyone moved by their arguments? And her office told the White House staff they would be pushing ahead anyway. So around 9:30 last night, President Biden himself called Nancy Pelosi and asked her not to do this. Pelosi, I'm told, still wanted to move ahead. So the White House then targeted Senator Wyden via Schumer to get him to pull out on the Senate side so it would all fall apart. They believe this is because the White House did not want to appear that they had been boxed in by Congress, which of course they had. But it's a snapshot of the friction between the White House and House Dems beneath the surface. I'm adding in a couple of my own things here to Jackie, so don't, you know, it's not verbatim. Members from both parties expressed frustration that they spent the whole weekend working in a bipartisan fashion only to get rolled by the White House. And then she wrote, as I type this, Reuters reports a White House announcement to ban Russian oil is imminent. So in other words, he couldn't stop his own party from actually doing the right thing. And so he had to get on board. The guy's wrong on absolutely all fronts. Robert Gates, you said it best. I'm glad he never backed down from that quote about Joe Biden because he was dead on. Does this crazy stock market have you second-guessing your strategy? Or do you just want to know more? I've got a suggestion for you. The Oxford Communique with Alexander Green. Many of Green's recommendations consistently outperform the S&P 500. That's because he follows very specific strategies and the trades he recommends. When you subscribe to the Oxford Communique, Alex's research will show you exactly how to grow your wealth, protect what you have, which is so important right now, and manage risk. Plus, he'll show you how to stay ahead of inflation and keep your money out of the prying hands of the tax man. You can get started today for as little as $49 at onestockretirement.com. Subscribe and get digital and print subscriptions to the Oxford Communique, plus four bonus reports, including the Gone Fishing Portfolio. Today is the day to join the club, the Oxford Club, one of the world's largest financial publishers. Subscribe today and gain unlimited access to Alex's research along with new stock recommendations every month. You owe it to yourself. Get the knowledge and strategies to grow your wealth. Join the Oxford Club today at onestockretirement.com. We'll be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley is pure Americana.
I'm so off the cuff. I'm so unpredictable. And I have a leather bomber jacket. I'll take your question anyway, kid. An American
girl. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, what is this Shaq-inspired poll question today?
How do you guess up now? Partial fill or top it off?
I use the Shaq theory. I do a partial fill and it makes me feel better. I do 20 at a time.
25% of the audience agrees and says partial fill. 75% say top it off.
Yeah, 75% aren't stupid. And I respect that. I am part of the stupid bunch who goes, ooh, I'm just going to do $10 today. That will make me feel better. Ronnie, really quickly. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Hey, thank you, Grace. I don't need too much time. The previous caller really touched on it. We all understand why Putin's there. He doesn't want NATO on his front doorstep, just like we didn't want Russia on our doorstep in Cuba. But nobody understands why we're there or why all this pain we're going through is worth it to us. And the second point is that when did Trump or any of his surrogates ever once come out and tell us to manage our expectations, lower our expectations, you know, get creative and deal with it? It was always winning, 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 and it was always record highs, record breakthroughs, and unprecedented results. That's
and Ronnie, they were still very unhappy. His critics were still ripping their hair out. And now that everything's gone to excrement, they're digging into that excrement and they're trying to explain away how this is not Biden's fault. And I'll do you one better. It's Trump's fault. All of this is Trump's fault. 844-500-4242. You know what's coming up next? Two-way Tuesdays. Get on the line now. Let's have full lines for Toby Leary. He'll take all your gun questions when we return.
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.